This is WABF 1480. And it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review. Normally with Dr. Lou Campomenosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign, an adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne on Highway 98 and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash. And this morning, as a guest host of the program, we are happy to welcome George Williams, Minority Outreach Coordinator for the Alabama GOP. He is also a retired DEA agent, a retired Army Reserve major, and Vietnam veteran with his own talk show himself. Mr. George Williams, welcome, George.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad to be hosting Dr. Lou's show. I've appeared on his show a few times.
Yes, you have.
Yes, and Dr. Lou has also hosted my show when I was unable to be there in the studio. So I'm so glad to host his show. And I talked to him this morning, and he sounded better, but not the old Dr. Lou that I know.
Right.
So hopefully, he'll be better soon, and he'll be back. So I'm happy to. To be hosting his show today. Now, I was thinking about what I was going to say and what I was going to talk about. And folks, there's so much to talk about because of those idiots in Washington, D.C. that have really messed up this country. And even the state of Alabama, as far as the Democrats and what they're doing. And we'll go to the our first topic would be this redistricting, and even before the lines were drawn by the state legislatures, the Democratic Party, along with the NAACP, they filed a lawsuit against the state of Alabama, and as a result, the three judges in the I think it's 11th Circuit here, decided that there should be a change on the congressional redistricting, so they halted everything. And I don't agree with it. I think it should stay like it is, because folks, the Democrats have taken over the as far as the House and the Senate for Alabama. The blacks have taken over. I think there are 8 Democratic senators and 7 are black. And there are like 38 Democratic House members and 33 are black. So they've taken that over from the white Democrats. By contrast, we've just elected our first black Republican last year in August, Kenny Pascal, out of Shelby County. And he's the first one since Reconstruction Day.
Really? If you were to run for office, then you would join those ranks. Do people ask you often, or are they surprised that you are a Republican and a very staunch conservative one?
Of course, I've been threatened and everything else. According to our thoughts, the black Republicans, the Democrats have been racist against us. Because it's almost impossible. I read it. It has been impossible for us, black Republicans, to be elected in a majority Democratic area. Now, when Kenny Pascal was elected, that was a Republican area, 65% Republican. So it's impossible for us. Now, this redistricting of the Senate and the House lines after the 2020 census, we've identified about 8 different districts that Republicans will have a chance to be elected. And so we've put candidates up in some of those areas. tell you, it's not easy being a black Republican, not only in Alabama, anywhere in the United States.
Yes, sir.
Because if you look at our Congress in Washington, there are about 70 black Congress folks and about 60 Hispanics, okay, of both colors. There are only three or four Republicans out of that group, black Republicans out of that group. So we are the ones who are being discriminated against by the Democratic Party, and we don't like that. And so I think that and we've offered to be part of the lawsuits against the Democrats, and if they call on us, we'll be glad to join them against the Democratic Party. And then when you look at the NAACP, which was started in 1909 by a white female to help the blacks during that period. And you look at the NAACP today, and the NAACP is a surrogate for the Democratic Party, okay? Even against us, who are also black, the black Republican. So it's a terrible situation that we are going through, but we're not going to stop. We're going to fight, and we're fighting them every day, the Democrats, not only in America, not only in Alabama, but all over the United States. And we're coming together now to fight the Democratic Party. That's very important to us, okay? That's very important to us. So even redistricting the city of Mobile, the council folks and the black Democrats are looking for the city of Mobile to be minority district. And they are giving the mayor and the non-minority city council big, big, big problems, because they want the city of Mobile to be redistricted as a majority minority district, okay? And I hope that the city council and the mayor stay firm, because me, myself, I was born in Mobile. When I was 5, we moved to Daphne. And when I was 10, my mother, father, the 8 children moved to Paterson, New Jersey, from Daphne. And I tell you, folks, I would not want to live in a city or a county that's under Democratic control. I would not, and I refuse to, okay? And you look at all the cities that are under Democratic control, both white and black cities and counties and state. Look at DeBasio. You know, I grew up in Paterson, New Jersey, which is about 12 miles from George Washington Bridge. And when Giuliani was the mayor of New York, it was, crime was down, everything. It was a fantastic city. Then the Democrats took over. DeBasio was the worst, okay? Now you have the former police captain, a black guy, who was the mayor of New York City, Adams, okay? And he's supposed to, because of his police background, supposed to bring the city back from high crime and all that. But he's a Democrat. So he's not going to be able to do much because of the makeup of the city council. And they're Democrats. And look at the crime. I worked in New York when I was a military recruiter for 3 years. And then I worked in New York when I was a federal agent, a DEA special agent, for about 7 years. And let me tell you, folks, it has changed from when I worked there. It is worse. It's worse. Look at the police shootings. These are happening in Democratic cities, folks. Democratic cities. And, well, that's because of the Democrat leadership. You know, they want to defund the police. Like the body of New York, they want to release people, criminals, on bail, without posting money for bail, et cetera, et cetera. And several cities that has happened in several Democratic-run cities. As a result, the crime has skyrocketed. And now they're crying for the police to get involved and stop it. Well, how can they stop it when you have put these roadblocks before them? They're not going to stop it. They can't stop it. They're losing people, personnel. They're quitting, going to other police departments. See, you're not going to stop it. And so I would never want to live, and I will never live under a city or a county or a state that has Democratic control. For example, look at Birmingham, the Democrats. And as a result of Birmingham, we have no Republican judges. We had a black young lady who was elected as a Republican some years back, and she was elected judge, and she spent 4 years, and then all of a sudden she was gone. She was not reelected, okay, because she was a Republican. All the judges in Jefferson County now are Democrats. Democrats. Okay? So, that's a city that is under Democrat leadership, and look how terrible it has become. Montgomery, the same way, under Mayor Reed, who was the son of the former vice chairman of Alabama Democratic Party, Joe Reed. You know why? Because folks are leaving these cities. They're leaving and moving to the suburbs. I'm talking about the Republicans, both black and white. They're leaving. And they tried the same thing this past election in Mobile. You had Fred Richardson and Carlos Finney, who are black, who ran for mayor. And they thought that they would squeeze the Sandy Simpkins out, but he carried a lot of minority votes, black votes. So that's why he won. Now they're trying to redistribute. I hope the other city council members and the mayor stop that. Okay? 'Cause I don't want Mobile to be under Democratic control. Even though in Alabama, the mayors are supposed, and the city council are supposed to be nonpartisan, but we know better than that.
Right.
We know better. There's no way, okay, that this is not happening. So that's locally, and that's concerning the redistricting. Also, the NAACP, I have to talk about them, and I know the head of the NAACP is a retired Air Force colonel, Bernard Simonton, and I've talked to him several times, okay? And they're supposed to be nonpartisan. And I ask this question of your listeners out there. Why didn't Dr. Martin Luther King join up with the NAACP when he started his the activity of nonviolent demonstration?
I don't think I was aware he did not.
He didn't. He started his own, SCLC, Southern Christian Leadership Conference. That was his organization. And a lot of people don't know that Martin Luther King was a Republican until the day he was killed. He was a Republican. Matter of fact, the last time he voted for Richard Nixon to be president. And he made that statement. And I'm fortunate to know a couple of the folks who were with Martin Luther King. And I asked them, were they Republican? And they told me, yes, they were definitely Republicans. Who were they fighting? They were fighting the Dixiecrats. They were fighting the Democrats. And I think we lost a lot of black folks to the Democratic Party after the 65 Civil Rights Bill. Because they thought that the Democrat was responsible, but they were not, okay? It was Edward Dirksen, Senator Dirksen, who sponsored the bill in the Senate, and it was former President Gerald Ford, who was a congressman at that time, who sponsored the bill, Civil Rights Bill, in the Congress. And it was President Johnson, who was the president, who had to call Jesse Helms and all those Dixiecrats to convince them to vote for the Civil Rights Act. And after that happened, a lot of the black Republicans went over to the Democratic Party. And I was one of them.
Huh.
I was one of them. And I came back to the Republican Party during when President Reagan was running, because I was in the government at that time. And Jimmy Carter was so weak, and we see what he did in Iran with our hostages, et cetera, et cetera. So that is why I came back. And Reagan, President Reagan, brought me back to the Republican Party, because my grandparents, my parents, everybody were Republicans. They were not Democrats. They were Republicans. So a lot of people don't know that. But that is a fact. That is a fact. And also, I came back to live in Alabama in 2005. And by 2007, I was the number two man in the Alabama Republican Party, senior vice chairman. And I hear people outside of Alabama talk about prejudice Alabama, racist Alabama, et cetera, et cetera. That is crap, okay? How can you be black and the number two man in the Alabama Republican Party for over 6 years?
There you go.
Traveled all over Alabama and never had a problem. Never had a racist problem. Now, I have had racist problems with blacks. Okay? They call me racist. They call me Uncle Tom. They call me everything, but not whites. And so this is a deception that the Democrats are using. And they're doing going strictly by race. Okay, everything to the Democrat is race, and racist, and they're using that to garner votes. But now the Alabama Republican Party, on I think it's the third week of February, we're having our state meeting biannual, and do you know who our special guest is going to be?
Who?
For that meeting, Speaker?
President Trump?
No, ma'am. It is Dr. Aveda King, Martin Luther King's niece.
Oh, okay. Very impressive.
And she is the Martin Luther King's brother's daughter, and she's a Republican. And I've met her several times, and she said during the January 16th celebration for Uncle Martin Luther King that the Democrats are using Dr. King's birthday as a political event, which they are. And I've said that on my radio show. Okay, so she will be our guest speaker for the Alabama Republican Party semi-annual banquet, and that's going to be in Birmingham. The third week of February. So, looking forward to that. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Now, what else can I talk about? What is happening? You know, I listened to President Biden, and he was talking about sending troops to Ukraine, close to Ukraine. Now, folks, why don't you send troops to the Mexican border? I've worked the border as a DEA agent for 3 years, okay? And this man cared more about Ukraine than he cares about America. And let me tell you, you know, you think innocent people are coming across the border. Some of them are. Some of them. But we have immigration laws. I was stationed in South America for 6 years with DEA. I was stationed in Africa for 6 years. There are immigration policies, okay? These people, we don't know who the hell is coming across the border. And they're not just innocent people from South America. They're from all over the world. All over the world. And guess what? The government don't run that area, okay? They may run the border area in San Diego, and they may run it in Corpus Christi, okay? Those two areas, but the frontier in between, they don't run that. The cartels, the Mexican cartels, and without their permission, you're not going to come across that border. And in order to get their permission, you're going to have to bring something. And most of what they're bringing is drugs, okay? Especially fentanyl. It's being processed. Some of it is being processed in Mexico, some in China. All right? The Canadian border is porous, very porous. We had a lot of drugs coming from the Canadian border because their immigration policies were so thin. But the Mexican border, it is porous, and in order for you to be snuck across, you have to have a package. And you look and see some of the films that of the them coming over. They have something, a backpack or something. That's not just their clothes. Those are drugs. Mm-hmm. And these fentanyl, I tell you, I worked the heroin situation in New York when I was there. A lot of undercover operations. And I can tell you, this is worse than heroin. Okay? Heroin was a victim when I was a young agent in New York. But this fentanyl and some of these other psychedelic drugs that are coming over, and they're bringing them over, folks. They're bringing them. So Biden don't want to send the military to the border of America, but he will send them over there to Ukraine. Well, what do we have in common with Ukraine? Okay? If we want to help them, give them weapons. Give them something to fight with. That's what they're asking for. So that's just one thing that Biden and Harris are doing. And they are the worst combination president and vice president, I think, that we've ever had. And one of the worst was Jimmy Carter. And they've topped that out, okay? And Obama was just as bad as Jimmy Carter. And Biden and Obama were together. So now you have Biden by himself, but Susan Rice is still his advisor. And I think she's the conduit between Obama and Biden. Susan Rice.
Really?
That's my opinion. And from what I know, I still know quite a few of my agent buddies in different departments in the federal government. So that's what I've heard. And so what can you say? It's just a bad situation. And you Democrats who voted for those idiots in the White House, I'm telling you, you better think about it. In 2022, this November, and 2024, okay? You better think about it. Because you are hurting just like we are. And if you vote for those idiots again, then you've got a problem that cannot be helped. But that's why Biden asked for so much money, because he's giving it out. He's doling it out to these people. If you go to, my children call Walmart my second home. You go to Walmart to buy something, you got how many items, 20 items in your basket, and then you see these folks with pushing two baskets. You know, that's not their money. That's our money. That's our money that the Biden administration's given to these people. They got baskets full of items, you know? And yours may be $75 or $80. You know theirs got to be $200 or $300 or more. That's not their money, folks. That's our money. That's our taxpayers' money. So what do you think about that? And they're talking about, I heard Biden the other day talking about how the job is looking better. Folks, those are folks who were laid off. Those are folks who are coming back to work, those are not new jobs. Those are not new jobs created. Those are people who are coming back to work. The situation is dismal as far as the job market. If that's the case, why do you see so many businesses with big signs saying hiring?
Everywhere you look.
Everywhere you look.
I thought that jobs report was misleading.
Huh?
I said, I thought that jobs report was misleading when he came out and said, great news, 430,000 new jobs. I found that hard to believe.
Yeah, they're lying. It's not misleading, it's lies. They are actually lying. They will not tell the truth. And as far as LSD, because they're all on, appear they're all on something over there, the Clinton News Network. You can't believe what these people say. It's not like Walter Cronkite when we were growing up, okay? Eric Submeri and those great newscasters. They would tell you the news. Right now, it's all opinionized. You look at, Rachel Maddow and all those folks. Literally lying, and I read an article today about President Trump's rally, and I was looking on YouTube, and it said what kind of disaster President Trump's rally was, and then they were talking about asking people why are they there, what is critical race theory, and all that. It was very deceptive. I was at the Trump rally in Coleman, Alabama. And you can see my picture right behind him. And it's unbelievable the number of people at those rallies. And the rally in Texas the other Saturday night was bigger than the Coleman rally.
Yes.
Let me tell you something, folks. My prediction, we are going to take the House and Congress this November. Mark my words now. We're going to take it. And I bet you, because I will be going to Georgia to help Herschel Walker and some of the other candidates there. And we got people going all over. Alabama, we're fortunate. Okay, so we're sending people all over to help. And I grew up in New Jersey, and I was so glad this past November election, folks, when we almost took the governor's race in New Jersey, but we did beat the Senate president. And that was amazing. But a lot of people don't know, in November 2020, New Jersey couldn't vote at the polls. They had to vote by mail. And to hear even AL.com, I was reading AL.com early, and they were talking about some of the candidates running, and they're talking about them. None found it info regarding voter fraud. That is a complete lie. That is a complete lie. I know someone in Mobile whose mother and father live outside of Atlanta. 3 months before the November 20th election, his father died. Okay? 3 weeks before the election, his mother received an unsolicited ballot. Okay? From Miss Stacey Abrams group for her and her husband, her deceased husband. Well, folks, she filled the ballot out for herself and her husband. Okay? So her dead husband voted.
And that wasn't the only one.
That's right. I know two young men who lived in New Jersey, went to, did some time in state prison, moved to Georgia about 3 years ago, and they told it. Unsolicited ballots, okay, which was nothing but a fraud, which was penetrated by Stacey Abrams' group. So when you hear all of this, these lies about non-founded voter fraud, don't believe them, folks. Don't believe them. Look what happened in Arizona. Look what happened in Pennsylvania. Look what happened in Michigan. Okay? And who are trying to stop these audits? Who are trying to stop recounting of the votes? The Democrats. The Democrats. There's a young lady who's running for Congress in the 11th District in Florida. She's been on my show several times. She was part of the group that went to Pennsylvania and went to Georgia to do the recount. And guess what? Sometimes where they were recounting, they would not let the Republicans in, the Democrats with.
Right.
They didn't do that. She said that numerous times on my show. They were threatened, and they had a lot of young black college students to help them. And these college students were threatened by black Democrats.
Wow.
In Pennsylvania and Georgia. So why? What are the Democrats afraid of?
George, we appreciate you filling in for Dr. Lou today. What do you have any parting thoughts before we run out of time?
Yeah, well, how many minutes we have?
A couple.
Okay. My thoughts are this, okay, for my black folks and minority folks, don't be fooled. Get off of the plantation. You see how you're being treated by the Democrats. Okay, get out off of the plantation. Get out there and vote. And for you, black Republicans who live in those urban cities, I know you've been threatened. I know you can't put a Trump sign or Republican sign on your lawn because they come by and they rip them off and they threaten you. Even so, during the primary, some of our folks who asked for a Republican ballot, the people in these urban areas refuse to get a Republican ballot. Yeah, no, you get a Democratic ballot. Okay, these are things that are happening in Alabama all over. And folks, get some guts, and fight the Democrats. All you got to do is, you know, let us know, and we'll send people to those areas to help you out. So, get ready for November. Because it is going to be a red tide coming in.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you.
Words of thought, wisdom.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you, sir.
All right.
Thank
Bye.
You. George Williams, who is has his own show, The George Williams Show, Tuesdays, 7 p.m. on 106.5 FM. Thank you again, sir. This morning, he is filling in for Dr. Lou and the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review. This is a paid talk show sponsored by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash. This program does not necessarily express the views and opinions of the management of this station. You may be listening to this program later at WABF1480.com. Now resuming regular programming.